Wow, those lights are bright. Well, like I said, my name is Scott. I'm the pastor of Student Ministries here, and I don't normally get a chance to be up in front of you, so it's a joy for me to be able to have that chance this week as Pastor Blair has been at New Orleans at our national conference and gone this weekend, and being able to come and share with you over the last few weeks, months maybe, if you've been around here at Findlay E-Free. And I just got to stop right there. The last church I was at was called First Free. And because Findlay is an F word too, I have to really think about it as I've gotten a little bit older in my years. Am I saying the right church? But over the last few weeks, months at Findlay E-Free, we have been in a series called Rooted Deep. And we've been looking at our doctrinal statement and what we believe as a church, our Christian faith, so that we could build this stronger Christian biblical worldview. And so that's what's been happening over the last few months. In case this is your first Sunday here and you haven't been here before, that's where we have been. We've been taking a look at that, and we've had classes, and we've been going through, reading through the Bible, a reading plan, and just being able to build that strong base. Now, over the next few weeks into the fall, we'll be taking a look at some of the other parts of the Christian faith, of basically taking this foundation that we have, and now how does this actually play out for the Christ follower? How does this play out? How does this work? How do we put hands and feet to what we believe and have it displayed in the world that we live in? And so this morning, we're going to be continuing that series and taking a look at that practical how-to. And to get us started on this next phase of the Rooted Deep series, I get the chance to talk about the P word. Some may think, oh, persecution. No. The P word that sometimes can be intimidating to us. Something that, oh yeah, I've done that before, I know what that is. It's something that you're supposed to do, but oftentimes when we talk about our prayer life, sometimes the conversation starts to turn a different direction. Let's not talk about that. Because if we're really honest with ourselves, there are times where we think, wow, we've got this prayer life going great. I've got this. And then there are times where we're embarrassed, where we feel guilty or ashamed of where our prayer life currently is. And you know, this last week as I was preparing for this message and being able to talk about prayer, talk about putting a mirror up and looking at your own life and saying, being challenged in different ways of where prayer is, even in my own life. And so we're going to be taking a look at prayer, actually over the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be able to introduce the topic, and then next week, Pastor Blair will be back and talking about prayer and fasting. Outside, as you walked in, maybe you've seen a table there that talking about our prayer emphasis week that is going to be kicking off a week from this Sunday, from the 14th to the 21st, and there are prayer guides out there, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but a way that we can put action to what we're talking about here on a Sunday morning. And so as we get started to get us thinking about this topic of prayer and to get us focused this morning, I wanted to show one more video to you this morning that maybe this is similar to what we experience in our own prayer life from time to time. Take a look at this video.
My prayer life is vibrant and it's active daily. I like to commune with God at nighttime. I get under those warm covers and I kiss my wife goodnight. Then I just start talking to God, just me and God, tell him everything. Makes me just sleepy just thinking about it. And there I am, just laying in bed, laying out my request to him, and he's hearing me, and I know that I'm in good company with him. Where was I?
The efficiency of one's prayers are directly congruent to the position of one's body. Therefore, the legs should be saying, God help me. Amen.
There are times that me and God do not talk, and that is not God's fault, that is mine. I just get so busy. And so when I do end up talking to God, I really just try to impress him, give him a show, just to show him how much I love him. So excuse me, will you, as I pray to God. O Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee, how now? Brown cow, oh, thy soul is so dry, and if I can just catch a morsel of who you are, so verily, merrily, down the stream. God, I just want to be used by you. God, I want
to be salt and light and light and salt and sight and light and peppers and oregano and pepperoni and black olives and those little bit.
When I like to get my prayer on, there's some things I keep in mind. I think it's totally awesome that God is like Santa Claus, and he wants to give you the things that you want. Therefore, you need to keep lists of things. My list currently has 745 prayer requests on them. So then when I go to the Lord in prayer, it looks a little something like this. I'll just pray real quick. Let's see, the uno thing on my list is my mom, and so I'll pray for her now. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this sweet salt of the earth lady that you have blessed me with to be my mother, and I tell you thank you. And although I know that I'm called to respect her, and I give her all due respect, there's also an issue of something she truly needs, and that is to stop a yapping. Lord, she yaps, and she doesn't know how to stop yapping. So could you please make her mute just for a day? Nothing permanent. Don't hurt her. I love her. Just mute her. Take your big God remote and push mute on her channel. That would be great. Henceforth, I would go on and pray all 746 things.
God, you are greater than anything this world has to offer. And I can't wait for you to come back and get us. But until that time comes, would you help me just to live my life day after day as if I'm just walking hand in hand with you? God, I have a lot of needs, and I have a lot of wants. And sometimes I get those things confused. Help me to just trust you to meet my needs and be thankful when you give me those other things that I just want. God, I have blown it so many times today, and I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I don't take it for granted. And God, as I start this day out, I'm just reminded that this world is filled with so many spiritual potholes. Please help me to walk in such a way where I won't stumble so much. And as I'm going through this day, God, help me to live my life in such a way that would bring you glory and honor. May the life that I live be a life of worship to you. Amen.
Well, can you relate to any of those pictures of prayer? Have any of those been yours? Have you been the nocturnal one of praying and all of a sudden you find that you've fallen asleep? Or maybe you've gotten into the listing. With all the laughter, I'm guessing that many of you didn't do the New Age and you're having trouble with folding your legs and things like that. But at the end, the skit guys, actually Tom and Eddie, who were in that, are guys that go around to different youth conferences and use skits to help present a point. And I really liked the way that Tommy ended that and being able to take the Lord's Prayer and put it into his own words, to be able to pray like that, to be able to take how Jesus taught us to pray during the Sermon on the Mount and put it into practice. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at a passage of Scripture that is also part of the Sermon on the Mount. Earlier on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about different ways to become more and more holy and righteous living, as well as teaching the disciples how to pray, and you could read about that in chapters 5 through 7. When it really comes down to it, as you read through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, two things pop out to me. One is this whole thing of righteous living. What does it mean to live godly lives, to live God-honoring lives? And the other thing that pops out to me is relationship, that God wants to have a relationship with us. And in order to have a relationship with us, it can't be just one way. There has to be two way. There has to be communication from God to us, and then us to be able to communicate to Him and to talk with Him. I don't know about you, but in my own marriage, if I'm not talking to my wife, there's not much of a relationship there. Friendships, if we're not communicating with one another, there's not much of a relationship there. Same is true when it comes to our relationship with God. We need to be able to build that relationship with Him. God's desire is to have relationship with us, and in order for that, we have to talk to Him. And so we're going to be taking a look at a passage in Matthew chapter 7. So if you've got your Bibles with you, you can pull those out. If you got one of those electronic devices, boy, I feel like I'm really in youth group now, because that's how our students have those electronic devices. Click on over there to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And if you don't have one of those with you, you can look up on the screen, and I'm going to read our passage this morning. It says this: "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that as we dive into this passage of Scripture and talk about prayer this morning, Lord, that you would put away distractions in our mind, that I wouldn't be a distraction when looking into your word, and that you would be able to teach us what it is that you want to change in our own lives as it pertains to prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just speak through me, speak to our hearts. Pray this in your name. Amen. So in your bulletin, you've got this blank piece of paper. And so you could take lots of really copious notes. I know that's a big word for a youth pastor, right? Copious. Or you could draw a self-portrait of me or whatever it might be, but there's a place for you to write some things down. And also towards the end, I'm gonna have you do some evaluation, so leave a little spot for that as it pertains to prayer. But when I look at the instruction that Jesus gives us in these few verses, the word persistent comes to mind. There are three key imperatives that are talked about in that first verse. In verse 7, it talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. And Jesus is challenging his followers at this point to do these things, to put these things into practice, to ask, to seek, to knock when it comes to prayer. Something important to note here is that these imperatives are all in the present tense. And so that indicates that there needs to be some perseverance or frequent prayers for those whom we are concerned. It's not play this game once and that's done. It's something that is ongoing. It's rather to cultivate this relationship. To think about it as this: keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It's to cultivate that relationship with Him. It's teaching us that we can depend on God and we need to depend on Him, teaching us to be able to trust Him with those three imperatives. And as I looked at this message and this passage of Scripture, what question popped to my mind when it comes to prayer is this. What does it look like to have a prayer life that exhibits persistency? Because in these imperatives, persistency really came up to me. And so, being the smart guy that I am, I went to Google and I typed in persistency, because that's kind of a big word. It's a good word maybe if you're using it for Words with Friends or Scrabble or things like that, if you get the right letters. But persistent, what does it mean to be persistent? And this is what I found. Persistent means refusing to give up or let go, persevering obstinately, insistently repetitive or continuous. An example of that would be a persistent ringing of the telephone. Also means existing or remaining in the same state for an indefinitely long time, enduring. And then some of the synonyms that came up to it with it, and tenacious was one of them. And when I think of tenacious, one of the things that came to my mind is the good old Rocky movies. Any of you guys remember the Rocky movies? And I think it was Rocky III. Rocky III is Clubber Lang, right? Mr. T. And the announcers, as he's walking in, talked about his tenacious eyes. He was ready for that fight. The tenacious way to do that. Persistency. And then I thought, well, what are some examples of what it looks like to be persistent? 1992, it was the Olympic Games in Barcelona. It was the 400-meter dash, and there was a guy named Derek Redmond from the UK. Derek had lots of different injuries at different times. He was maybe one of those that were picked to be able to do something that year in the Barcelona Games. It was the semifinals, and as he's running, as he comes, I think maybe around the third turn, he pulls his hamstring. And it would have been easy just to lay down there and wait for the medical staff to come and get him. But there was something different about Derek. He wanted to finish that race, and he hobbled his way. His dad came out of the stands, and we've probably all seen different videos, and it's been in different commercials of his dad coming and helping him across that line. He had a goal. He was sticking to it. That is an example of persistency to me. I think of learning to ride a bike. There's many times that you don't just get up on a bike and all of a sudden start riding it. You have to get up time after time after falling as a child and getting up and doing it over and over until you get it right. I think of exercising, maybe even running. You have to be persistent. You can't just think about it, say, boy, it'd be nice to go out for a run today and not do it. You have to get your shoes on and get out there and do it, or get to the gym and work out. It takes persistency to that. It takes commitment, takes perseverance. Some of the different shows that I think of, like American Idol, The Voice, or maybe even The Biggest Loser, talk about exercise, of where these people go to these shows and they're taking their talent when it comes to music. Or maybe it's that they want to lose some weight and they have to learn to be persistent to do that. Well, how does that all relate to this passage? When it comes to our prayer life, do we take an approach of persistency like we do in other areas of our life? Are we willing to be like a Derek Redmond? And even when we stumble, we're going to stay true to it. Well, let's take a look at these three imperatives and what it is that we can learn from this to change, to maybe encourage us to move towards a persistent prayer life. What kind of impact? How can we reflect this more? And the ask, seek, and knock, like I said, it's the keep asking, it's the keep seeking, it's the keep knocking part of prayer that we need to do. They're actions, and they're not a one-time thing, but they're an attitude of continual, persistent actions in the life of us who claim to follow Christ. The ask. The ask is continue placing our burdens and our requests to God before Him, being able to give to Him the different things that are important in our life for support, for guidance, for supplying the needs that we have in our own life. The asking God to intervene, asking God for help, for guidance, whatever it might be. As I was reading this last week, Matthew Henry, in his commentary, stated it this way: ask as a traveler asks the way, or in other terms, as a traveler asks for directions. And I was thinking about that, and then I was like, wow, I wonder when he wrote that again, because I'm thinking of the guys in this room. When it comes to directions, we are so willing to ask for that, aren't we, men? When we're going someplace, now I know in today's age we've got these things called GPSs and, you know, that tell you where to go, but I have learned that they're not always right. I remember a couple years ago I was taking some kids to camp, and we were going to this camp, and this road started turning into a creek, and it was not the road that you're supposed to go down. And for me, whenever I take kids on a trip, it's always about the experience and that we get there eventually. But this whole thing of asking for directions, guys, that's something that we're not really good at. Our wives or our kids, or, you know, when I'm driving with youth, they'll say, stop and ask for it. No. It is something in the guy's makeup that we cannot stop and ask for directions, right? I should maybe do a grunt like Tim the Tool Man here now, right? You don't stop and ask for that. We don't do that. We need to ask. But here's the thing. After driving in circles, guys, we eventually say, well, I need to stop and use the restroom anyway, so I might as well ask for directions now after we've seen that gas station 3 or 4 times, right? Here's a quote that Bill Hybels says about prayer. Prayer is an alien to our proud human nature. Did you catch that? Prayer is an alien to our proud human nature. We think, hey, we've got this. God, don't worry about it. I've got it taken care of. But when it comes down to it, we need to ask. We need to ask God. And when it comes to that asking and getting out of that proud moment, guys, we just need to ask for directions. Guys, gals, whoever it might be, all right, is that we need to ask. To pray and ask equals to inquire of God. We need to inquire of God. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 37, it says this when it pertains to the asking. This is what the Sovereign Lord says: once again, I will yield to the plea of the house of Israel. The plea of the house of Israel. So they were asking. They were praying and asking God. And do this for them. I will make their people as numerous as the sheep. God's desire is that we ask Him. Does He know what's going on in our lives? Yes. But we need to be asking and pleading for Him. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. We need to ask and get into that continual asking of God. Seek. The seeking part. Seeking as for something that we have lost or something that is of value. And so the question here is, have you guys ever lost something that you turn up the house for because you can't find it? Usually for me, it comes to my keys. I need a GPS for my keychain. Wouldn't that be helpful? And it's interesting because sometimes when my keys are gone, what do I say first? Terry, what did you do with them? Right? But searching for those things. The picture of Luke chapter 15 and the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, and the parable of the prodigal son come to mind. Of that searching for that one sheep or that coin, of turning things up. I've got some friends now that have gone more on the geek side of things, they would say, and they do this thing called geocaching. Anyone ever hear of geocaching? Geocaching is basically these things that you use with a GPS system, and people hide things all over the country and all over the world. Sometimes they're in a little film canister, wherever it might be, and they put these coordinates on the web, and you can go to them, and you can find these things, and they call them caches, and you search for them. And they just give you the coordinates of about where they're at, and then you have to look around for that. That comes to mind when I think about seeking. Are we seeking after God like we would a geocache? Are we looking for ways to do that? Knocking, this is where I believe the persistency really comes in. Seeking and knocking imply more than just asking and praying, but putting efforts behind those prayers. So taking the asking of what we're going to ask God for, going to seek answers to that, to search, but then to knock and to put action behind it. It's one thing to ask God, do this in my life, and just sit there and wait for it to happen. But are we actually putting action behind it and striving towards what that might be? An example of this that I think of, and something that we're going to be doing here this fall with our student ministry. In the last church I was at, we had this opportunity with the Gideons. The Gideons are people who have taken God's word and put it into hotels and on college campuses and things of that sort. But they came out with this thing called the Life Book. The Life Book looks like this. It's a Gospel of John with student notes in it of different things interacting with God's word. And the Life Book, these are free to students. We have 1,500 of these Life Books in my office right now. And one of the things that we do every year in student ministry is this thing called See You at the Pole. Isn't it great that once a year our students get around their flagpole and pray? Once a year? It's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than just once a year. And so a couple years ago, and I heard about the Life Book, I got some, and we got all of our churches in the Quad City area, and we had like 15,000 of these. And we had a See You at the Pole rally, and we had all the churches come together. And as they came together that night, we challenged the kids, okay, you prayed for your friends at school this week. Now how about let's do an on-campus missions trip this next week. We had the 15,000 of these Life Books, and we gave them to students that week and said, put these in your backpack. And as you go to school now, the next week, those kids that might have walked by you and seen that you have prayed at your flagpole and said, hey, what were you doing out there? Give them a Life Book. Actually, open up and put your phone number in there and say, hey, if you have questions about this, would you read this? And if you have questions or you want to talk about anything in this, give me a call or text me. It's putting God's word into their hand of the people that they were praying for. It, in my mind, is taking this asking and seeking and knocking to a whole nother level, because it's putting God's word into those kids' hands and being able to interact with it. To be able to, so if they're praying for one of their friends to come to know Christ, they have something that they can go to and say, here, I'm doing something with it. The Life Book Project we're going to do this fall here with our students. We have 1,500 of them. We're going to try to saturate the campuses here with the Life Book, being able to equip our students to reach their friends with Christ. It's taking this asking, seeking, and knocking, and putting it into practice. Pray for us with that. We'll have more information as that comes up. But it's putting those things into practice. That is persistency. That is what this passage is talking about. So what happens when we approach our prayer life with persistency? What happens when we put these actions into motion? Boy, we've only gotten done with one verse. We've got more to go. And not a lot of time. So we'll just go into the Sunday school hour. Just kidding. Verse 8, it says this: "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open." Did you catch that? When we ask, and when we seek, and when we knock, God hears us. It's kind of like what Tommy said when he was in that video. Great. That means whatever I ask God, he will give me. God is our Santa Claus, right? No. Check out what it says then in verses 9 and 11 with this. It says, "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" If you're one of those people that like to write in their Bibles, I would underline good things in that. The good things. Our Heavenly Father delights in giving good gifts to his children. So when we ask and when we seek and when we knock, God is going to give us those good things, those spiritual blessings. Now, some of those, we might have an idea in our mind what they are. But in God's mind, there might be something better for us, something good for us. Check out what it says write down James chapter 1, verse 17. It says this: "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Every good and perfect gift is from God above. God delights in giving us good gifts. And then we come to an encouragement from Paul in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. An encouragement that Paul writes to the church in Philippi that probably was experiencing similar persecutions for believing in God, just like Paul had. And this is what he says to them in verses 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Do not be anxious about anything. Put those things into practice of the asking. Those things that come to our mind, ask God for those. Seek after him. Knock. Put those things on God's throne and ask him. Whatever the circumstances might be, even in persecution or the good times, whatever it might be, we need to put those things before God. It's an encouragement to us, just like it was for the Philippians, it is for us today. So how do we put all this into practice? What are some examples that I have seen, of what it means to have a persistent prayer life? The last church that I was at, First Free in Moline, a few years ago, our pastor gave out this challenge of being able to pray for our neighbors, coworkers, family, and friends. And we did this thing called the White Rose Challenge. And what it was this, is that each January we gave out this challenge and people were able to come up and we had white silk roses. That the challenge was, will you pray for 5 of your friends that don't know Christ, that don't know who God is, and pray that God would be real to them. And so we would put these roses in this vase in front of the sanctuary, and we would see these white roses. But then it went to the next level. We had pink roses. The pink roses represented a chance that we had to be able to share our faith with the people that we were praying for. So if we had a chance at the water cooler and being able to talk to someone, and they brought up something going on in their life, and we were able to move it towards a spiritual conversation of sharing the gospel, that's a pink rose. And so whenever that would happen, we would be able to bring up a pink rose and put it in that vase. We had red roses. The red roses represented someone praying to receive Christ and being able to put that red rose in the vase when we were witness to someone turning their life over to Christ. It was really cool because in January it was a big thing of white roses. And we had somewhere over 100 or 200 people that were praying for five friends. 100 or 200, that, you know, 500 to 1,000 people we're praying for. We're asking, and we're going to start seeking that these people would come to know Christ. And through the year, being able to start to see that bouquet start to change colors, to see the pink roses and the red roses represented in that vase. We did the same thing with our youth ministry. We took it a little bit different. We did mosaic tiles, and I had white tiles that kids could write friends' names on, though, and put in this glass jar, and had different color tiles, and do the same type of thing. But being able to have that visual reminder of what does it mean to be persistent in prayer, to be able to be asking and seeking and looking for opportunities that we could share Christ with our friends, to make it happen. You know, we have an opportunity here as well. Prayer Emphasis Week is July 14th to the 21st. To be able to take one of these prayer guides and put it into practice. To be praying for the different areas of our ministry and sign up. And you can do that outside. So where do we go from here? What can we do? How do we put this into practice? Here's a couple things before we close here. Is we need to evaluate where we currently are. To be able to take that white sheet, if you haven't written notes in it yet, and be able to write a line and put a 1 to a 10. 1 being, my prayer life is non-existent. I don't do it. And a 10 meaning, you are the poster child for the persistent prayer campaign. Where are you at on that line? Are you 1, 2, 3? Are you 4, 5? Wherever it is, mark an X there. And then what I want you to do is, what is it going to take it up the next level? So if you are at a 4, don't say, I want to be a 10 next week. You might want to be a 10 down the road. But what are the steps to get you up to that 5 or 6 when it comes to persistent prayer? Is it to be able to do that on a daily basis? What will it take to get you to the next level? Because here's what I found in my study this last week. Asking leads to receiving, seeking leads to finding, and knocking leads to opening. When we put all these into play at the same time, it's not just one. We need to do all of them. That's what Jesus' instruction, what his teaching was to us. Prayer, persistent prayer, is about building that relationship with God, about connecting with him, about talking with him. And some of the things that we'll find in our own life is, one, we're going to have a growing relationship with God. The intimacy level in our relationship with God is going to go up automatically because we are putting things before him. We're going to see blessings in our life. As we pray persistently, God rewards us with spiritually good gifts. That's what it talks about in verses 9 and 11. And then it's also going to deepen our prayer life. And we're going to start to see an impact in our community, in the world around us. Maybe some of you are thinking, wow, I would like to take that white rose challenge and start praying for five friends. Write them down. Who are you going to pray for? Now, don't list them and ask them to be mute for a day like we saw in the video. But earnestly pray for them. And get back whatever it might be that we need to go towards a persistent prayer life. Well, let's pray together. Dear God, we just thank you for this time that we've been able to look into your word and the teaching for us. Thanks for this model of prayer that you have given to us, and that we can take these three things of asking, of seeking, and knocking, and become more persistent in our prayer for others around us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to make those changes in our life, whatever it might be, to take it up to the next level. We pray these things in your name. Amen.